reason why we commemorate bad things that happened in the past is as a way of inspiring a tshuva. The Mela, when we have a tinus for lack of rain, as we experience, it's understandable why it should bring us to tshuva, because if we're suffering, it's because we're doing something wrong. The question becomes, why would we have a tinus for something that happened thousands of years ago to other people? Rambam writes at the beginning of Perek Hey that there are days where we fast because of things that happened in the past to awaken the hearts, to open, bring us in the ways of tshuva. V'yihyeh zikaron lema'aseinu hara'im u'ma'aseh avoteinu shehaya kema'aseinu ata ad shegaram lahem v'lanu otan hatzarot. It's an interesting meshing of present and past here. If whatever happened in the past is still being commemorated, it's because it continues today in some level. The suffering of the past continues today on some level, and if it continues on some level, it's because the problems that caused it then still exist. So in other words, we need to do tshuva because whatever caused that problem then that continues today still exists today. Like the Gemara says, anyone, the Beis Mikdash is not rebuilt in his generation, it's as if it was destroyed in his generation. Because obviously the problem hasn't been solved. If we're around today, it would be destroyed today. So this is a big challenge for us, to understand what problem existed then that led to that result, to see for ourselves how the result still exists today, otherwise it's irrelevant, then to understand how the problem still exists today. That's a general thing. Let's now focus on Asara B'Tevet. Now I'm fairly confident that if I asked you guys to rank the relative seriousness intensity of the Taniyot, Asara B'Tevet would not come out towards the top. I mean, you got Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, you know, if you had to ask me, I would assume Shabbat B'Tammuz because it's part of the 3 weeks. And then, you know, if it came down to these tiny Esther aside for saying Tzom Gedalia, Asara B'Tevet, I think people would put something that higher up. It's in that Asara B'Tevet. Asara B'Tevet, especially if you live in a northern area of the world, like the whole thing is like 7 hours. wimpy. That's why it's surprising that Asara B'Tevet has a chumrah that we don't find by any other Yataniot with the exception of Yom Kippur. And that is, Beis Yosef brings from the Avudraham, bottom of page 1, that if Asara B'Tevet would fall out on Shabbos, we would fast it on Shabbos. The calendar is built so that it doesn't fall out on Shabbos. Because you got Yom Kippur and Asara B'Tevet falling on Shabbos, Shabbos is going to be bad news for the Jews, right? When it falls out on Friday, though, we do fast it on Friday. That's not theoretical, people, right? Just people don't know, tomorrow morning, Bashar Alcha will be offering, tomorrow morning, 9:30, we'll be offering a tour around the walls of Yerushalayim, which is what we're commemorating on Asara B'Tevet. I recommend taking advantage of it. But in any case, it'll be ending in the Martef HaShoah, because people may not know that the Asara B'Tevet was chosen by the Rabbanut HaRashit of Israel to be the day we commemorate the Holocaust. I'll also explain why. So we'll go there to Rav Vider, Rosh Yeshiva, will be taking those interested after the Yeshiva's minyan to the Martef HaShoah. So, to each their own. If you daven regular time in the yeshiva, you can go with Rav Vider. If you daven later, you want to go with Rosh or Alch, you want to go with both. In any case, why is this so? Because in Yechezkel, Perek Chof Daled, a little early here, it says, Hashem spoke to him in the 9th year, the 10th month, on the 10th of the month, we call that Asara B'Teves, and said, write this name down, because on the Etzem Hayom, write this date down, because Etzem Hayom Azeh, the siege is being laid on Yerushalayim, and Yechezkel was in Bavel, so he didn't know about it. The Etzem Yom Hazeh is mentioned twice. That's the basis of the Avudraham's Shita, because the term Etzem Yom Hazeh we find from Yom Kippur, and it seems that if it's Etzem Yom Hazeh, it's something specific to this day, and you can't delay the fast. But it's exactly the opposite, because I would have thought that the significance of Asara B'Tevet is not about the day, but about how it led eventually to things later on. You see from here is that, no, there's significance to the day itself. Even more than there's significance to the day of other fasts where we can delay it. Here it's that day, like Yom Kippur, the Etzem HaYom HaZeh. The question is why? Why is Asar B'Teves so uniquely Chamor? So let's begin our discussion about Asar B'Teves by finding out why we fast on this day. Most people think that we fasted because when the siege was laid, and this is indeed the opinion quoted in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet by Rabbi Shimon in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Sefer Zechariah, the Tanis is mentioned as Tzom Ha'asiri in the 10th month. It doesn't say why, it doesn't even say when in the month. As I mentioned, Shimon quotes Rabbi Akiva, who says that it's Asar B'Teves because of the pasuk we saw before, because that's when the siege began on Yerushalayim. This is mentioned, as we saw in Yechezkel, it's mentioned also in Malachim Bet Perek Chafei, a couple of sources later here, beginning of the siege. And of course, the question is, why is that so significant, the beginning of the siege? Rav Shimon himself, after quoting Rabbi Akiva, he says, I personally disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and I believe that it's not the 10th of the month, it's the 5th of the month, which is the day when people in Bavel heard about the Churban. Obviously, a year later, Tisha B'av Yismish was destroyed, and the word only got to Bavel on the 5th of Teves. Cheskel, Perek, Lamed, Gimel, Patsik, Afal, if you have the source in front of you. If we had difficulty understanding the significance according to Rabbi Akiva, I think we're going to find it even more difficult according to Rabbi Shimon to have a day to fast the day when people in Bavel heard about it. Pella. So I think we can begin to understand this by beginning with the Rambam and how he formulates it. And the Rambam is, of course, explaining the significance of how we seem to paskin, right, fast on the 10th and not on the 5th because of the siege. But I think once we understand the significance of the siege, I think we can understand also maybe Shimon Shita of the 5th, the fast being on the 5th because of the day when they heard about it. Rambam, Halacha Bet, the very next Halacha, page 2, mentions something brief about each one of the Taniyot. Second line, he says, Asir B'Teves, Shebo Samach Melech Bavel Nebuchadnezzar Arashal Yerushalayim, V'hiviya B'matzor U'v'matzok. Here the Rambam adds a word beyond just the technical description. Asir B'Teves was the beginning of the siege. What word does the Rambam add to siege, to matzor? He adds the words matzok. And I think we can understand this a little bit better by looking at what is described in Sefer Yechezkel as the goals and the effects of the siege. What does the word matzok mean? Matzok means terrible suffering, oppression. If you look in Yechezkel Perek Yud Zayin, where it starts describing the siege, it says, Lo b'chel gadol v'kal rav yaseh to paro b'milchama. Paro isn't going to attack you with great army and with a lot of soldiers. B'shvoch solalau v'vnot dayek. He's just going to build a siege around the city. L'achrit nefashot rabot. To eradicate many lives. A siege is, you know, more a late, drawn out form of war. It's not actually coming and attacking you and shooting you, but it's decimating you as the siege gets worse. Cheskel Perek Chaf Aleph, he describes how Melech Bavel decided whether to attack first Yerushalayim or Abat Amon, using a certain twig test, which was indicative of the fact that the twig came out this way, that God was interested in Yerushalayim being destroyed, because if not, he could have had the king go to Abat Amon, which was equally fine with the king. And when the twig came down facing Yerushalayim, Pesach Zayin, bottom of page 2, V'yameinu haya kesem Yerushalayim l'sum karim l'ftoach peh b'retzach. The siege is a form of murder. This explains also on page 3, Cheskel Perek Dalet, which talk about the different symbols that were used by Hashem to describe the impending siege. The first symbol was comparing Yerushalayim to a pot. And Hashem talks about how the pot is going to burn the food alive. The food, of course, being the Jewish people. The reason the image of the pot was used, it seems, is because The Jews thought that Yerushalayim was a protective pot that they could rely upon and thus didn't have to be afraid of attack and thus didn't have to do tshuva. And Hashem was telling them, sure, you're in a pot, but the fire is going to be very high. And the same pot that can be protective is a pot that can burn. In Perek Daled, the Mitzor of Yerushalayim is described as bringing with it famine. Pasuk Tetzayin, Ve'yomer la'ben Adam, Hineni shover mateh lechem Yerushalayim. I'm going to break the bread staff. Yachlu lechem b'mishkal, bread will have to be allocated, right, distributed with by weight, with de'aga u'mayim b'misura v'shimamon yishtu, l'man yechzru lechem v'mayim v'nashamu ish v'achiv v'namaku b'avunam. That people will attack each other and wither away in their sins. The Rambam, though, as we saw, uses a very interesting word to describe all this suffering. The word is matzok. Does anyone know what the source of the word matzok is in the Torah? The source of the word matzok is together with the word matzor. The Rambam didn't create this linkage. And it appears a number of times in the Tochacha in Parshat Ki Tavo, Devarim Perek Chavchet. Those who've learned the Tochacha well there know that there are different stages described of how the punishment is going to happen. And the worst stage is when God brings, bottom of page 3, a nation from far away. See, it's one thing when you fight with the kids on your block. When you fight with Bobby and Ricky Osuna, this is not theoretical. When you fight with Bobby and Ricky, they have your daily fights. It doesn't go too far because everybody knows that we live on the same block. And we're going to fight again tomorrow, so there are certain rules. But what happens when a nation comes from far away? A nation that doesn't understand you, has no sympathy for you. The Jews and the Plishtim, you know, back, forth, back, forth. But when people come from far away, they just don't care. And that's really where the terrible suffering begins. And it talks about here the laying of the siege. Continuing on page 4, Pasuk Nun Gimel. V'achalta pri vitnecha b'sar banecha uvnotecha asher natan lecha Hashem Elokecha. You're going to eat your own children. B'matzor uv'matzok asher yatzik lecha oyevecha. Pasuk Nun Daled and Hey describe how even the sensitive man will look badly at his own brother and his own wife and not want to share the meat of his children with them. Again, I'm not just talking about eating your own children, but the lives, the dead, the selfishness that comes from being in such a dire strait, or dire straits. In any case, Pesukim Nun Vav and Nun Zayin bring the greater chiddush, which is harakah v'cha v'anuga, not just the man, but the woman, the most soft and sensitive woman, is eating her own fetus and not sharing it with her own children because of how little there is. Sadly, we're familiar with these realities from the Holocaust recently. So the matzor is something the Torah connects to the matzok. Not just to the terrible suffering, but what it brings out in people, eating themselves alive. I think there's another connection to the Tochacha, though. If you look later in Dvarim Perek Lamed Aleph, one of the things described about the Tochacha there is that God's anger causes him to abandon the Jewish people and hide his face from them. Hester upon him. This, too, is part of what Yechezkel describes as the message of the siege. Where? Look back for a second, page 3. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Gimel. Yechezkel was told to take an iron pan, kach lecha machvat barzel, v'natata ota kir barzel beincha uvein ha'ir. Yechezkel was told to take an iron pan. He was told to build a model of the city, sandcastle, Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Bet, he was told to build a siege around it, and then he was told to put a pan between him and the city. What's the significance of this pan? Doesn't say here. But the Gemara, continuing on page 4, in Brachot Achmad, Beit HaMikdash says, Amar Rav Elazar, Miyom Shecharav Beit HaMikdash, Nifsaka Chomat Barzel, Bein Yisrael La'aviyem Shebashamayim, Sheneemar, Ve'ata Kach Lecha Machvat Barzel, V'natato Takir Barzel, Bein Chau V'Neir. Now, what's interesting is that the Gemara talks about it being from the day when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But if we want to be more exact, it would be the day that the siege was laid. Okay, for our purposes, it's after the Churban, but it's from the day the siege was laid. The siege, which brings with it the terrible suffering, is meant to be a sign that God is looking away. That God is not going to be there for you, take care of you anymore. And that's a message that Hashem wanted sent and understood before the Churban occurred. And the truth is that before the Churban occurs, there still might be the possibility of changing something, right? I think this explains another interesting parallel between what you see in Sefer Yechezkel and what you see in the Tochacha. Go back again to Perek Daled on page 3. Take a look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hashem says to Yechezkel, Vayomer Hashem, Kacha yochlu v'nei Yisrael et lachmam, tamei bagoyim asher adichem sham. The Jews are going to have to eat their tamei bread when they're living in the tamei land of Chutz Laretz, amongst the goyim who I pushed them away to. This term, bagoyim asher adichem sham, is also taken from the Tochacha. Go back to page 4. Perek Lamed, the Ayaki Avo Alecha Kol Advarim Ha'ela Abrocha Va'aklala Shenatati Lefanecha Va'ashivote Alevavecha B'chol Ha'goyim Asher Hidichcha Hashem Elokecha Hashem. Looking at the next source, Cheskel, in the very next Perek, Perek Hey, talks about at the laying of the siege how a third of the Jewish people will be burnt alive within the city, a third will be killed by the sword, and a third will be Tizre L'ruach V'cherev Arik Achareim. It's also taken from the Tochacha, this time in Chukotai, Yikra Perek Chavav. Ve'etchem ezareh bagoyim v'harikoti achareichem charev. Interestingly, the Golus, as described in the Tochacha, is linked by Yechezkel already to the laying of the siege. And I think this is the basis of the Medrash Tanchuma, which says, O tov gedola asa im Yisrael, Hashem did a great Tova for the Jewish people, Ketzad, they were already ready to be sent in the Golus. Shekeinu Omer, Ben Adam, K'tov Lecha Hashem Hayom Hazeh, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar, Im Yotzim Achshav, in the middle of the winter, Betzina, Hey Metim, they'll all die. Me'asa, what did Hashem do? Himtim Lahem V'Higlotam B'Kayet. He sent them out to Golus in the summer, so there would be some remnant of the Jewish people. Even in the time of punishment, God wants to make sure there's a remnant. Meaning, the Galut was already something that was deserved and could have happened on Asar B'Teves. And the laying of the siege and the suffering that it brought was meant to show the Jewish people that this is where they were at and that God was ready to hide his face from them, as symbolized by the iron pin. And I think this explains Rabbi Shimon's suggestion of fasting on the 5th of Teves, which, as we saw, was rooted on when they heard in Galus about the Churban. Meaning, the laying of the siege is the basis not only of the Churban, but the basis of everything that's going to be happening in Galus. The significance of what it means for Galus. Everything we suffer today began on Asar B'Tevet. Why? Because Asar B'Tevet is when Hashem said, I'm not looking at you anymore, and I'm not interested in helping you anymore. This explains, I think, why in Megillat Ta'anit and in our Slichot that we say on Asar B'Tevet, we talk not only about what actually happened on the 10th day, but other events that happened seemingly unconnected. The 8th of Tevet, we talked about how the Greeks forced us to translate the Torah. 3 days of darkness came to the world, the 9th day. But we're not told what happened. The 10th day, the siege, which we talk about again in the Slichot, bottom of page 4, because everything bad, and this is a problem we sometimes don't realize, that all the things that happen later happen because of the break in that relationship. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Chet, in the same context we were talking about before, asks, when will the days that we fast become, as Yitzchariah says, if you look back at page 2, Yitzchariah was asked, that's why he talks about the Ta'anit, should we still fast in Bayit Sheni, in the beginning of Bayit Sheni, when the Jews return? And he says that the various fast days, one day, will be for the Jewish people, Sasam, Simcha, Moadim Tov. The Gemara in Hashanah asks, when will the days be Moadim Tov? The Gemara says, when there'll be Shalom. So Machlok Shishonim, what Shalom means. It's really rooted in the sugya already. Does Shalom mean peace? Or does Shalom mean the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? It's surprising that you would translate Shalom as the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. I don't think many of the peace parties in Israel have that in their prospect, right? Their agenda. I think the answer is simple. And the Jewish people have been learning it in a sad way over the last few hundred years. I don't want to sound like a doomsday pessimist, and I'm not against peace agreements. We have to figure out what the best way of living in this reality is. But I'm pretty confident there won't be real peace until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. You should know that Jews, after being butchered for hundreds of years in the 19th century, said, the solution is to make our own country. When we make our own country, we'll finally be able to live in peace. We'll be away from the Goyim. We won't be living in their hair. We'll go to the middle of the Middle East where nobody cares, and we'll build a country and we'll just live our lives. And that worked well. I'm not saying it wasn't the right idea. I'm just saying if the goal was that the Jews would finally be left alone, that didn't exactly happen. So then, you know, the macho governments of Israel decided if we could just beat up the Arabs enough time, they'll learn their lesson. You know, it kind of didn't work either. So then the leftists in Israel said, we'll offer the Palestinians everything we could possibly offer them. Uh-oh. So what is the solution? So again, we have to figure out some way of reaching some kind of hudna, to use the Arab terms, you know. If the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed and Jews could have lived peacefully in Spain or in Manchester or, you know, go to a Spurs match without having to wear a hat, if that would be so, Jews would live happily ever after and wouldn't realize that their survival depends on their relationship with God. God linked something to the Churban HaMikdash. He linked our peace to it. Without the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Jewish life is going to continue to be one of suffering. I don't know if you want to hear that or not, but you know. Because the reason we suffer is because God isn't happy with us. And He causes the suffering so that we realize that there's a problem that He's not happy with us. Because if we weren't suffering, we'd think everything was fine. The message of the suffering is that there's a problem in our relationships. And that message is clearest on Asara B'Teves when nothing really happened, but it was the beginning of everything that did happen. Because it's the day when we were cut off from the world, which was meant to symbolize the fact that we were cut off from God. And when you're cut off from God, it's the beginning not only of suffering, but you becoming a desperate animal. And I think that's why it's very fitting that Asara B'Teves was chosen as Holocaust Remembrance Day by the religious community. Tisha B'Av, you should have chosen Tisha B'Av. A lot of suffering happened, Tisha B'Av, a lot of suffering happened. But Asara B'Teves is the cause of the Holocaust. The Holocaust is another sign of the fact that Jews can be butchered and gassed in a way that makes no sense for any people when God stops looking at them. And when we stop realizing that that's a problem, as many, 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 many Jews thought in Europe, and I'm not trying to explain the Holocaust or saying I can understand something of that magnitude, but I can say that much of the Jewish people started thinking that they could move on with life, whether by rebuilding a secular state or by integrating within European countries. When Jews forget, God has to remind them. Sad that we need these kind of reminders. The lesson for us is, I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago at this time, the Israeli army went into Gaza to straighten things out over there. Did it get straightened out? I'm not saying they shouldn't have gone in. I'm not saying it wasn't a successful mission. It was, and they should have gone in, and it was a successful mission. And after waiting months and months and enduring missile attacks, so it could be clear to the world that we were going in as a last-ditch effort because we had no choice, what happened after that war? A Jew named Goldstone condemned the Jewish people for defending themselves. So if any Jew still had hope that they could figure out a way to bring peace without bringing the real shalom, you had to be really frustrated to be an Israeli. You have to get cynical. The Israeli people are the only people in the world who can have the whole world against them and still believe that the whole world is crazy and we know what we're talking about. Because it's true, right? No matter how much we try to solve our problems, we're still the guilty one. We're still going to be hated. Until we solve the real problem. I think that God is just waiting for the Jews to try every last thing they can possibly think will work. A number of pieces in Maral about how the Gula will come when we least expect, when we're least ready for it, when we're finally giving up, try to bring it ourselves. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be working on bringing it. We should realize, though, that bringing it depends on the relationship. Sarah Batavis is about that relationship. It should be a Mirtz Hashem ironclad and not iron pan separated. So hopefully everyone will think about this. Think about the suffering today that's like the suffering in the past because of the problems today that are like the problems of the past. So we can do tshuva for those problems and hopefully remove this suffering. Everyone should have a meaningful fest. The tour is leaving from the building.